Friends, the path to healing, to liberation, to spiritual transformation is a long and arduous and difficult path. In the language of St. Paul today, the journey from the former self to the new self, the old self to the new self, is a long and arduous and difficult journey. And we sometimes look backwards in nostalgia and even longing for what we were in the past. In our first reading today, the Israelites, it's almost unbelievable. They are literally weeks from being freed by God from slavery in Egypt, and they long to go back. They are literally days and weeks out from God setting them free from physical slavery, and they long to go back because at least they have a guaranteed meal in Egypt. And they've come to realize that that journey through the desert, that journey from slavery to liberation, is a very difficult journey. And so they long for the bread and the flesh pots of slavery in Egypt. And if you're like me, your first thought was, these guys, these people are nuts. Who goes from slavery to liberation and longs to be back in slavery? But then I think before we're too judgmental, we should think about ourselves and how often we do the same thing. Think of, I'm sure you, like me, at some point in your life have deemed your eating habits and your exercise routine poor or mediocre at best, and you decided with this great drive and passion to eat better and to exercise more, right? And if you did that with any sort of consistency, you started feeling better, and your health indicators probably improved, and you had more energy, and everything was better. Your stomach looked better, your heart was better, everything looked better. And yet, tell me that at some point in that journey, you don't long for a McDonald's Filet-O-Fish, right? Or you don't long for what our deacon preached about last weekend, right? I forget its name, the triple meltdown chocolate cake or whatever it was. Like, you know in your mind that you're on the right path, and yet there's a kind of nostalgia to your old self, right? The self that would drive through White Castle at 2 in the morning, right? Or another case in point, many retreats that you put on for young people, you will take their cell phones for a number of days. And so in high school, I would run the Kairos retreat, which is the senior retreat. Many Catholic high schools do it. And we would take their phones for 3.5 days, their senior year. And here at UT for the Hocking Hills retreat, we do something similar. And inevitably, almost all the students will say something by about day 3, right? First day is like withdrawal symptoms, right? But by day 3, they're saying things like, you know, this is kind of nice. You know, I'm actually having fun. Like, because I'm not fixated on the screen. Like, I'm a better person. I'm more present to the people in front of me without this thing. Like, I could be a better person without it. Now, you would think with that intellectual knowledge that when we put the box of phones out on day 4, that some of them might say, you know, maybe I'll forego taking it back because I'm such a better person, a more liberated person without it. No, they're like a pack of hyenas, right? To get into that box, right, to get their phone. How about a more serious example? The addict, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or sex, who's on the path to sobriety and abstinence. And they know in their heart of hearts, and they know in their mind, this is the best thing. They know it's best for themselves and for their own health. They know it's best for their relationships and their family. And yet I have never met an addict who in their weakest moments does not yearn in moments of weakness to go back to that life, who does not have moments in which they long for their old self. Friends, before we're too critical of the Israelites, we should reflect on that aspect of our own selves. That even if we're on the path of spiritual liberation and freedom and wholeness, we sometimes look backwards. The worst part of us looks back at the old self and says, that was kind of nice. That was kind of comfortable. That was kind of convenient. That default position was, I kind of yearned for that. And that's what the Israelites are doing in the first reading. They had a guaranteed meal. And you say, well, they were enslaved, but they had a guaranteed meal. And now they're on the path to healing and liberation. And they know it's the best path. However, they still long for the food back when they were enslaved in Egypt. It's the transition from the old South to the new South. In my own life, I am very honest that I have those moments. I have those moments where I long for the lifestyle I lived before what I call those days pre-conversion in college. And I sometimes, in my weakest moments, long for those days. I know I'm better and I'm happier and I'm more fulfilled and I'm more whole now than I was then, but part of me still longs for the old South. What's interesting in the reading today is God does not criticize the complaints of the Israelites. In many places in Exodus and the book of Numbers, when the people complain, God is very annoyed by their complaints. But in this case, God says nothing other than to answer their objection by giving them food to rival what they longed for in Egypt. They missed the flesh pots and they missed the bread in Egypt. God says, fine, I'll give you meat, I'll give you quail, and I'll give you bread, manna. And so it's as if God is saying, I get it. I get why you look backwards sometimes, because the path of transformation, the path of detaching ourselves from things that hinder our spiritual transformation and keep us bound up, that path is really hard, and it's really long, and it's really arduous. It's really hard to consistently give up the things that harm our health. It's really hard to give up things like technology of which we've become attached. It's really hard if we're addicted to something to get detached from that thing. And it's like God says, yeah, I get it, Israelites. I know why you're looking back with nostalgia on Egypt, and I can't remedy that because there's no other remedy. The path of liberation and wholeness is always hard. So God can't just say, it's gone. And so what does God do instead? God says, at least I'll give you nourishment. At least I'll give you a daily sustenance to guarantee you and to remind you that I am there with you as you work from your old self to your former self. At least I'll give you bread that will rival the bread that you had in Egypt so that you don't get so demoralized and discouraged by being in the desert that you give up on the whole enterprise. And so God, in the first reading, and then Jesus, as he sort of speaks about manna in the gospel, which sort of is a symbol of the Eucharist for us, God is saying, I can't replace the long, arduous journey of liberation. I can't take that away because it's the only way it can happen. The only way the old self can change into the new self is through a hard process of detachment. But what I can give you is a daily reminder, a weekly reminder, that I am with you intimately in the form of nourishment, in the form of food, in the form of divine sustenance. And so he didn't remove that process from the Israelites. He doesn't remove it from us. He can't. Because if we make free choices to attach us to certain things, the only way to get out of that is to work through the difficult process of detachment. But God knows how hard that process is. And so God gives us the Eucharist, the bread from heaven, to help us in that difficult, long, arduous journey from the old self to the new self. Friends, that's why we come here each week, not because we are spiritually transformed and liberated totally already, but precisely because we're not. Right? This is great. This is Pope Francis's great line, that the church, the Mass, is not a museum for the perfect. It's a hospital for sinners. The only problem is complacency. That's the only negative, complacency. If we're not trying to move from the old self to the new self, that's a problem. But the fact that we're not there yet, not a problem. That's why we come here, to be strengthened by the bread from heaven, the Eucharist, so that we can endure the difficulty of that journey from the old self to the new self, from enslavement to liberation. And so, friends, we come here not perfect, but knowing, like the Israelites, that we sometimes long in nostalgic and craving ways for our past attachments. We have to continue on the journey of liberation and spiritual transformation and freedom, knowing that our God in this Eucharistic bread from heaven is always with us, intimately involved in our lives, and wants to share in that journey, not taking away the process, but being with us as the bread of life, the bread from heaven.